Last weekend, I was on vacation in Chicago. I assume you know that. At least I hope you noticed that I wasn't here. While we were in Chicago, we went on an architectural boat tour. And it pointed out different architectural features of the city. And one of the things that I learned on this tour was that the Chicago River, which is actually what we were on in the boat, that at one point they reversed the flow of the Chicago River. Now, I thought that was impossible. I thought rivers flowed a certain way and you're just kind of stuck with that. But in Chicago, this was a problem because there were so many industries along the river that polluted the water. And so the polluted water flowed into Lake Michigan, which was the source of drinking water. And so a lot of waterborne illnesses were rampant at one time in Chicago because the water wasn't pure, the drinking water wasn't pure. So they decided to try to reverse the flow so that the Lake Michigan water came into the river instead of accepting the polluted water from the Chicago River. The original attempt to do this was through digging a canal, and apparently they didn't dig it deeply enough because it just didn't quite work. But then in 1900, they dug a deeper channel, and the flow of the Chicago River was reversed permanently. Now, who would think you could do anything through human engineering to reverse the flow of a river? So if that river flows in one direction, the old direction, the toxic flows into the pure. But when it was reversed from its natural flow, the pure was able to flow unadulterated by the toxic. In the Christian life, how do we reverse the flow of the natural human river so that we are purified by the presence of God? Our model for reversing the natural flow appears in the epistle today. The epistle says Jesus emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, that he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death. The natural human instinct is self-preservation. It is to increase our own status in the eyes of others. Jesus became a human and reversed the flow of that river. He is God, yet he took on the humble, painful life of a human being. The pure flowed to purify what had been toxic. We all, at least in some form or some description, have a need for power. We have a need for status. And sometimes those needs that we have, our agendas, cause us to present information about God, making God in our image, rather than humbling ourselves and acknowledging the sovereignty of God. When that happens, when we present an image of God that suits us but isn't pure, then the waters of religion are polluted by an infusion of hypocrisy, self-righteousness, and hunger for power. When we glorify ourselves instead of God, the river flows in the wrong direction and it cannot sustain us. We reverse the flow of the river when we find the courage to empty ourselves of our agendas, our need for status, our dependence on the material. Only when we begin to empty ourselves do we have room for the purifying waters of baptism, the purifying presence of Jesus. We can't just add the presence of God to our lives and keep all of our agendas and schedules and busy day books. We have to make room for this water to flow. We can't find the depth needed to reverse the flow of the river if we're not willing to give up something of ourselves. If we talk a good game of religion, but do not allow our faith to transform us into the image of Christ, then our lack of obedience tarnishes the image of God to those around us. They see us as Christians and think, I didn't think that's how it was supposed to be, knowing the presence and the life of Jesus. Our gospel story today also kind of chimes in on this topic. The gospel gives an indictment of people who were polluting the pure image of God through their toxic non-obedience. They glorified themselves instead of glorifying God. This story levels criticism at those who say they want God, but who are unwilling to empty themselves of their own egos. Like one son in the gospel story, sometimes we say, "I go," but we do nothing to make room for transformation. Other people who aren't even proclaimed Christians show Jesus' loving spirit. And in a sense, they say, "I will not go," but they end up closer to what God asks of us than we self-proclaimed believers do. What it boils down to is that self-righteousness is the enemy of righteousness. Out there in our world, many people think they want nothing to do with Christianity because in their eyes, our practice of faith has little to do with the perfect image of Christ. Too often, people from the outside see Christianity as something we do, not a change in who we are. And that happens when we're unwilling to empty ourselves to accept fully the presence of God. When we are righteous, the pure fills our waiting emptiness. We prepare space for God. We empty ourselves and God flows fully into us. And the flow of the natural human river is reversed. This parable of these two sons that we heard today, it's intended to make all of us, all hearers, question our own claims of righteousness. One lesson for us in this gospel story and in all the readings today is for us to continually ask ourselves the most important question, which is, are you willing to empty yourself enough to follow the way of righteousness? In other words, are you ready to do something drastic enough to reverse the flow of the river? The humility exhibited by Jesus and by those who truly follow Jesus means that we can be empty enough of our human flaws and fears and agendas to be transformed into the image of Christ. It is not an easy task, reversing the flow of the river. Our jealousies and our ambitions and our need for power battle us at every turn. Those very human flaws prevent our deepening the channel enough to do any good. And so if we're not careful, we end up with a lukewarm Christianity in which we say, "I go," but we add, "But today is too soon. I have other priorities. I have things to do. I don't have time to pray. I have a schedule to meet, which means I can't stop and help that person who needs me. I have too much I need to accomplish today. I can't afford to take time out for God." And when that happens, that just lack of mindfulness, the river continues to flow in the wrong direction. We call ourselves Christians, but we don't empty ourselves enough to accept God's transformative presence. Most of us who profess Christianity, we're not hypocrites, although that's the charge that is most often leveled at us by those outside the church. We're just too busy. We're too involved. And yet, in that busyness, our relationship with God, if we're not careful, can be relegated to being one more thing in our multitasking lives. That's why we come here. We come together as a community of faith to remember to empty ourselves to make room for God. We celebrate together our baptism, the introduction of that pure water of Christ's presence into our lives. We help each other remember that God must come first for us to ever find peace. The world we live in is flooded with busyness and self-involvement, glorification of the individual. But we are Christians called to something else. We're called to a new way of life in which we practice stopping for a moment, making time in the day to love God and love neighbors. It is not easy what God calls us to do. We need each other to remember to glorify God and not ourselves. We need each other to remember to make time for prayer and worship and help of neighbors. We need each other to remember that we follow Christ and not the rest of the world. We need help remembering the importance of emptying ourselves. For when we can do it, the pure water of baptism purifies us and saves us. When we can do it, we do something that to others must look impossible. We push back against the natural human way, and we are cleansed by the transforming presence of God. We dig the channel deeply enough that, against all human instincts and all human odds, we reverse the flow of the river. Amen.